Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit MySpecialMortgage.com. That's MySpecialMortgage.com.
It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Welcome to it. Wow, dropping some bombs there, Al. You're just ready to move on from Emmanuel Sanders.
Listen, man.
Yeah.
Not only just Emmanuel, but I said Von Miller, Chris Harris, Derek Wolfe. I'm just saying that it's time to rebuild. That's where we are. Okay. We don't have a quarterback. We have two really good young running backs. I think we have a tight end in that group that can play them. It's not sure because everybody's hurt. And we have young wide receivers who are just learning how to play the position.
By the way, we are going to play 4 o'clock trivia for a pair of Fleetwood Mac tickets. So pay attention to what we're talking about. And in about 50 minutes or so, maybe less, we'll ask a trivia question based on what happened during the 4 o'clock hour. So if you're paying attention, you could win yourself some Fleetwood Mac tickets. We have some congratulations to hand out. Congratulations, Broncos long snapper Casey Kreider was picked by Anthony Lynn to be the long snapper at the Pro Bowl. There you go.
Oh, that's cool.
That's pretty cool. Casey Kreider quietly has been nails as a long snapper.
The model of consistency.
Gets along great with everybody, keeps a very low profile, and makes perfect snaps time after time after time. It's somebody you might not know is on the team. And in terms of a long snapper, that could keep you in the NFL, Al, for a long time, right? Aaron Brewer was in a different cosmic world with the Broncos. But we have really had incredible success at the long snapping position, right? Like, it's just nothing we've had to worry about for such a long time. From Lonnie to Aaron Brewer to Casey Kreider, it's just a turnkey type of position. I suppose that's a good deal, right? Like, that's the last thing you want to worry about.
Until you jinx them the day before the game and say, you haven't had a bad snap.
I said that's
a
Lonnie. That was unbelievable.
You haven't had a bad snap in 7 years, Lonnie.
I know. And then
boom.
The next game.
It wasn't Lonnie. It was.
No, it was Lonnie.
Was it Lonnie?
It definitely was okay. Lonnie. Trust me. I was pretty friendly there with Lonnie for a while. I felt I could go there.
I haven't had a bad snap in. There you go, D-Mac.
We have not heard about Scangarello yet signing as the offensive coordinator. I'm not exactly sure what the holdup is.
Contract, money, talk, language. It was already announced. I think it's been across NFL news, and Schefter reported it. I don't know.
Reported what?
That they've come, not that they've come to terms, but have decided on him.
Well, clearly there's nobody else at this point, so... You know, I think it'll work out. It's just curious that it hasn't yet, but maybe that's not a big deal. As Mike Kliss insinuated, we are back on the Scangarello watch. As Mike was trying to have some fun and nobody wanted to play his reindeer games. Everybody got very, very sensitive. Very sensitive about that Nuggets game last night.
That's okay. People can be sensitive. You just know where you stand.
Yeah, if you really want to hear critical thought and talk about your favorite team, be ready for it. If it goes
in
a direction that you're not real happy with.
If we can talk critically about the Broncos, certainly we can talk critically about, and you know what? This sets up a great conversation. Do you remember when the Rockies used to stink it up? And we used to say, what is the purpose of going down there? Oh, yeah, to get beer and popcorn or pretzels or Rocky Dog. And relax. Not to actually go watch a team play. It was actually just to go to the game. But now you can look at the team and say, well, we are happy to go down to the game to watch a winning baseball team. It's a much different conversation than we had 7 years ago. Look, man, we haven't been to the playoffs since George Karl left here with the Denver Nuggets. We made a ridiculous hire. I think everybody, when you when you consider what we did after George Karl, what are you supposed to say? What are you supposed to say? We let Masai Ujiri just walk out the front door because of a contract dispute. All he's done is went to Toronto and turned them around.
Yeah, okay. I didn't mean to go on and on about the Nuggets here.
I'm just saying.
My point was...
There are some things that I don't like that's happened with the Nuggets franchise.
So when I voiced them,
just get ready.
All right, my point is that casual fans were probably drawn into that game last night. Casual fans that haven't paid attention to anything. And what they saw was pretty disturbing. So if you don't like that, or you're all angry about that, then okay. Then I guess you're all angry about it. But what Mike pointed out with his tweet was, I mean, he said it in a snarky way.
Which I thought was funny
because I know Mike and I like Mike. But what he was really saying, I think, was, hey, if you want all that attention, be ready for it. If not, we're going back to what we're into, which is the Broncos. So you got to calm down, in my opinion, for those that are just all in a tizzy about things.
Because
they're so defensive.
Listen, are you talking about Nugget fans?
Yeah.
Man, get out of here. What are you talking about?
Either you put on your big boy pants about it or not.
Yeah, I mean, what are we supposed to say?
There were a lot of casual fans who are probably more into the Broncos that checked out that game last night and what they saw, if they haven't been following the NBA or the Nuggets or anything, but hey, everybody's telling me how big this is. They tune in last night and they see the Nuggets get blown out.
Yeah, I mean, it was great.
What are they supposed to think?
Chris Marlowe and Scotty Hastings in that big moment, and you know what? Scotty was honest about what was going on. Scotty called them a great franchise, great players. Chris Marlowe couldn't believe what he was watching, and the crowd was quiet. Look, man.
Anyway.
I just think that it's going to be a lot better, but it's just not time yet. It's like saying that, you know, when the Broncos said that they were in their Super Bowl window, and I said, that is such a lie. We are not in it. So when I said that, maybe more people got mad at me then. Or there's still a smattering group of people who are upset with me when I say that I think that we should trade Von Miller. People sometimes just don't like the truth.
Sometimes they don't. It hurts sometimes. That's why sometimes on social media, I just say, hey, Nuggets, you're awesome. Avs, you're awesome. Because that's all people really want to hear anyway. Now, I never put that much emphasis in the game last night, so it's not a big deal to me. It really isn't. But
you kept on talking that hot cash money trash.
Not really.
About, yes, you were talking about the Nuggets were the number one team in the Western Conference.
Yeah. Yeah, because that's true.
And I said, don't believe that.
It was literally a fact.
Oh, man.
Facts can get in the way, though.
Okay, bro.
Now they're not, but they might be Friday or later on. Who knows?
All right, bro. Is Gary Kubiak, by the way, the offensive coordinator for the Minnesota Vikings?
Sort of. He's the boss. Okay, when we come back, Cecil.
That's a whole nother story.
Cecil's at the East-West Shrine game. Is that right?
Is he?
Yes.
Is that going on now?
Yes, I think so. He'll join us and give us the scintillating details. Are they scintillating? Will Cecil have scintillating details about the East-West Shrine game? That's next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
You're listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3, The Fan.
Cecil Lammy joins us. Our fan, Broncos NFL draft insider, to talk about the Shrine Game. All right, Cecil, what are you seeing today?
Yeah, seeing today some guys that continue to make plays, and that's what you're looking for during the week. I remember when Philip Lindsay was here at this game last week. He was a consistent playmaker each and every day of practice. That's what you see when you look at guys this morning, at least continuing. Terry Godwin, the wide receiver from Georgia, is probably the best player here. Or Jimmy Moreland, the defensive back from James Madison, a player that I think the Broncos should be interested in because of his feistiness, because of his ability to get pick sixes and turn that ball around. But also because, fellas, you look at this Broncos defense. I know Vic Fangio is in the Mile High City to make things right, but that secondary could be pretty picked through, you know, losing Bradley Roby most likely, moving on from Tremaine Brock. You don't really think Brendan Langley's ready to do more, and Isaac Yiadom is good, but still developing and learning. They need to add secondary help that is on display here in Tampa, as well as some other players at all different positions. But a defensive-heavy draft features defensive-heavy stars at this first trip on the All-Star road trip.
See, so when you are at these events and you see an extreme talent, do you ever wonder, like, how in the world is this guy playing in this game? He should be looking at bigger and better opportunities. Who are the people that are at this event, the East-West Shrine Game? Because it used to be a huge event when I was in college.
Right, right. And Brett Favre was actually inducted into the Shrine Game Hall of Fame, I think this year or last year. So it's had big-time talent. Tom Brady was at this game as well. Recently, I've seen guys like Philip Lindsay, Josh Norman, you know, the Alfred Morris, those type of players, these late-round guys, mid-round guys, undrafted guys that can make themselves household names. I remember seeing Jimmy Garoppolo at this game, and you just thought, well, wait a second. Why is he here? Why is he not at the Senior Bowl? And then guess what? There was an injury. Jimmy Garoppolo got the call up to the Senior Bowl. So that does happen at times. I don't think it's going to happen with any of the quarterbacks this year. I know everyone was excited about Easton Stick, the North Dakota State quarterback, who on the first day looked good, but his game fell apart. First off, he's much smaller than people thought at 6'2", about 205 pounds. Not a lot of meat on those bones. And then also that arm strength, the accuracy, it just wasn't there for him. And then Brett Rippon, the Boise State quarterback, he might get a call up to the Senior Bowl, maybe, but even him, seeing more as a developmental late-round guy, had one evaluator tell me today, I wouldn't be surprised if all these quarterbacks here fell undrafted. But once in a while, you do see those talented guys. I remember Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, players like that. You're just wondering, why aren't they at a larger game? And sometimes those guys do get that call up.
Are these all seniors?
Yes, I believe the Shrine Game does all seniors. The Senior Bowl is actually allowing people that have already graduated. That's why we saw Josh Allen there last year. So if you've been able to graduate, then you can go to the Senior Bowl. But that's next week in Mobile.
Cecil, we talk about this draft being a big-time defensive line, offensive line NFL draft. Have you seen any guys on the defensive line or offensive line that have gave you a reason to stop and start taking better notes on them?
Yeah, and that's the great thing about this game, Big Al. It's like, I remember when Trey Hendrickson was here a couple of years ago, he's that fourth saint everyone forgets about because everyone talks about Lattimore and Ramczyk and Kamara. They forget about Trey Hendrickson. When I saw him, I thought, holy cow, that guy looks like Derek Wolfe. There is another. And actually from Cincinnati, and these three guys, Big Al, I want you to see these guys. I want you to tell me about them when I see you next time in Denver. But three of the standout players on the defensive line, Cortez Broughton, that's a kid from Cincinnati, 6'2", 290, making big plays. Chris Slayton from Syracuse, 6'4", 309, can play inside or outside tackle or end. He's been also getting into the backfield and getting after the quarterback. And then today was a huge day for Michael Dogby from Temple, 6'3", 280. So you do have defensive talent seriously on display, especially up front on those defensive lines. So those three guys are going to pick your brain about, brother, because here in Tampa, they were lighting it up. And also already hearing about who the Broncos like, that is Trey Watson, linebacker from Maryland at 6'2", 236, seen as that inside linebacker, special teams type of guy. And also heard a little buzz today because the worst kept secret here in Tampa is the Broncos love Drew Locke. Everybody knows that.
Is that right?
Everybody's talking about it. And I heard today, because of Washington's quarterback situation, they may try to leapfrog. I believe they're at 16. But they may try to leapfrog Denver. So already we're getting information that their teams may be trying to position themselves depending on how Drew Lock and Daniel Jones look next week in Mobile. Absolutely huge week.
All right, Cecil, we appreciate the update. And just on the Drew Lock thing, Paul Adams is the offensive tackle from Missouri. I guess you could link him up to Drew Lock, right, I suppose. Any thoughts on Paul Adams?
Didn't make my notebook. So, you know, if they're not in my notebook, I'll have to go back and watch some film notes on him.
All right, good enough. Thank you, Cecil. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you later.
Be good, fellas.
All right.
That was good information. I guess everybody, wow, Drew Lock.
Listen, if you like a guy, you got to move up to get him. I love my man, Mike Evans, who now says I am misrepresenting him. Pot, kettle, black. Holy cow. He's the original misrepresenter.
Get your facts straight.
You got to be kidding me, man. What is up with you and Mike?
Ask him. He's like Snow. Instead of the informer, he's the misrepresenter. Misrepresenter. Mike Evans. Anyway.
What did happen with Mike now?
He just cannot admit he was wrong about last year to save his life. He can't do it. And he just wants to draft a quarterback in the second round or later. He can't name a quarterback. He cannot name anybody. He claims that I say take anybody, which is definitely not true, but that's all right. That's a game he's playing. But yet he just says take a quarterback later, but he can't do it. He can't name anybody.
You're saying he's not studied enough?
I guess not. He literally cannot name a quarterback later after the first round that he actually likes. Go ahead, Mike. Oh, he said Kyle LaLetta. Kyle LaLetta, who got into, a DUI problem there with New York, and the Giants are about to draft another quarterback. He liked Kyle LaLetta. That was Mike Evans' guy, I guess. But he hasn't been able to do it in this draft.
What is up with you and Mike Evans, man? Seriously.
Nothing's going on. We're all good. I love Mike.
It's real.
I mean, it's like Antonio and Emmanuel, right?
It's real.
Somebody's right. It's hard to admit you were wrong about the draft last year. It's just hard to do. And when you said not one of these guys I would put ahead of those quarterbacks last year, you're right. But the fact of the matter is, if you like Drew Lock, right? If the Broncos like Drew Lock, they cannot just sit there at 10 and expect to get him.
I'm terrible at picking quarterbacks. I was excited about Paxton. I'm going to own that.
There were red flags that we all just ignored with Paxton.
I'm just going to own that, though. Own that.
Good for you.
Way to be happy about it, baby.
You know what?
He's at home.
You can toss that audio.
That's just
sick. Excitable, man. I mean, what do you want me to say, man? The guy was excited to be a Bronco.
We just got in this crazy panic mode because we did not keep Brock Osweiler. We literally had no quarterbacks of any substance on our roster, except for Trevor Siemian, who ended up being the starter. And everybody just freaked out. Freaked out. You can't sit there in the 20s and pick a quarterback. If you really like a quarterback, you got to move up to get him. You don't sit there at 27 or 29 and move up to 25 and be like, hey, I did it. It's insanity. It's insanity. You got to do what the Chiefs did if you like a quarterback. You got to go from 27 to 10.
The Chiefs kind of did what they did and just kind of, surprised everybody except me.
If you like them, get them. If you don't like them, fine. There's plenty of quarterbacks in 2020. It's fine by me. I'm not banging the only thing. Listen carefully now about what I'm saying, Mike. If the Broncos like a quarterback, and none of these guys this year are as good as the guys last year, but if you like one of them, go get them. Don't sit there and tell me I like Sam Darnold, Saquon Barkley, and Bradley Chubb. They're all the same. And don't sit there and say, hey, D-Mac, Bradley Chubb's way better than Josh Rosen. Actually, he's not, because Josh Rosen's a quarterback. And if you don't understand that, I can't help you. It's The Drive on The Fan.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac.
I'm reading some of these Emmanuel Sanders tweets today. You know, it wasn't just the one shot at... Well, I guess it was a retort to Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown put out there... He didn't draft me. He's talking about Bruce Arians. He drafted Emmanuel Sanders, same guy who missed rehab, to go on networks to talk about me on a situation he had zero clue. Arians now wears kangaroo hats and glasses. But I'm a diva. Doesn't see it all. Then they say, we friends, stop lying. And then Emmanuel goes, Antonio, crying, laughing emoji, 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 four of them. You know damn well I didn't travel to L.A. to talk about you, fam. You tripping, yo. I went to be an analyst in which you acting foolish was the topic. I gave my analytical opinion. Get off the gas, yo. You did it to yourself. But then he kind of kept going because people were responding to that, like this dude Daniel, whoever Daniel is. AB is a complete narcissist, man. Dude thinks everyone is against him or out to get him, calling out Arians, Emmanuel Sanders, etc. WTF happened to him, and like... Emmanuel Sanders, like, retweeted that. When you retweet something, you're essentially agreeing with them. Kind of. Then he responds, nah, bro, I don't clout chase. This is Emmanuel. I'm too real for that. I was an analyst last year on NFL Network, as well as during the playoffs, preparing for post-football, which is fine. Because the comment was, Sanders know damn well they called him because they wanted an opinion on Antonio Brown. No, that is not true. Emmanuel is pursuing a post-career in broadcasting, which is fine, absolutely fine. And I'm sure he was scheduled to be on NFL Network, you know, well in advance of when he was on.
I got an email at least a week before from NFL Communications saying he was going to be on it.
Yeah. Of course. It just so happens this topic came up, and of course they asked him about it. People have, this is kind of the crap sometimes that, you know, has actually been going on with me and Emmanuel, is that people just assume way too much or think there's something else behind it. There's nothing else behind it. He was always going to be on the show. The news came up. They asked him opinion on it, and he gave an opinion. I think he was a little phony in the answer, just on the tail end of it, about how he'd wish that, you know, him and Antonio could be teammates, Al. I mean, clearly, Emmanuel and Antonio aren't friends, right? I mean, that's pretty clear.
They're not. No, not anymore. I think there's been sibling rivalries there since the NFL draft. And you know as much because he brought it up. He said, hey, Bruce Arians drafted Emmanuel Sanders. Like, yeah, hey, man. You should have drafted me. You know, that was what that was about.
Right.
You know,
right,
I'm like,
right.
You know, you got to read deep into these.
Right. That's a good point.
You know, I'm like, wow.
Right.
You mad because Emmanuel Sanders was drafted before you. And you just got to consider who you're dealing with here. These guys right now are, you know, let me tell you, you know, I was in Houston about 3 weeks ago. And it was an article out talking about the most vain cities in the U.S., right? People who care the most about how they look and what they are driving and, you know, where they are living. Obviously, L.A. was number one. I was shocked to find that Houston was like number two or three.
The city's changed a lot, hasn't it?
Now, here's what I also tell you about the city of Houston. What's crazy about it is that it's a city that is, you know, where all the pro ball players go in the wintertime. So you have all the pro ball players there, and you have people who are look at me all the time. Emmanuel Sanders is he's a Texans for sure. He is certainly a Texan for sure. Antonio Brown would fit in nicely in Texas. You know, it's just that we aren't that kind of city. we aren't that kind of state really here in Colorado. We're not as flashy and as braggadocious as some of the other places out there in the U.S. But what I will say is that there are a lot of people who are from those areas, and they want to have their shine on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at it and I say, you know what? I get it. I'm just not with you. I get it. I get the mindset. I understand what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not with you. And I think when I look at both of those guys, I look at them that way. You know, like I played with a guy who took great pride in his clothes and in the way that he carried himself was Shannon Sharpe. Getting on the airplane to go to games with Shannon Sharpe and Keith Burns, we used to sit there and, I mean, the guy talked trash about people so hard, man. You just had to, you know, you had to do a Tommy Nayland or go get you a Taylor because it was just funny. But he wasn't a player like that. He was like that off the field because it was funny. But on the field, man, that dude was the most humble. Never held out the entire time that he was playing pro football.
We have Fleetwood Mac tickets to give away next. This is The Drive on The Fan.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
On January 31st at Pepsi Center, Fleetwood Mac will be performing. You can go and see Fleetwood Mac. Be caller 5 right now. All you have to do is tell me, where is Cecil? Where is Cecil? 4 o'clock trivia could net you Fleetwood Mac tickets. This is Drive on the Fan, and Emmanuel Sanders.
I like this song, man. I didn't know this was Fleetwood Mac. I always thought like Fleetwood Mac was like a car or something, because, you know, Cadillac makes a Fleetwood. Did you know that?
I did not know that, no.
In the hood, if you had a Fleetwood, man.
You're doing all right, huh?
Man, that's a big car.
What if you just had a Mac?
You were a Mac.
Oh.
You could be a Mac, gotcha. But, you know, you didn't have...
Wonder only.
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Players only love you when they're playing.
Oh, yeah. I know.
I will put this in my playlist.
No, they got some good tunes, man, Fleetwood Mac. I'm amazed the band's still around.
Why?
They're old. I'm not going to lie.
All right.
But I do like Fleetwood Mac. Got a lot of good songs. This is one of them. All right. Ed Donatell. Who is Ed Donatell,
Al? He's a nice man. Very good with the players. He's also a guy who's been around championships, and he's just been a solid guy. I think the Broncos, this is his third time back with the organization. You know, he's never ruffled any feathers, and he's been a gentleman the whole time throughout the process. And he's smart. He's worked with the defensive backs. I think he is a very smart guy. So I think the Broncos was a soft-spoken defensive back coach when he, you know, first was here when we won our championships. But I think that has changed a little more. You know, you've been in this league as long as you have, as long as he has, then I think you begin to understand it, and your relationship changes. Because when he was in the league back when we were playing, he was a fairly young coach. You know, you had players who were right around the same age.
Gotcha.
You know, so now that's not the case.
You know, my number one reason for really liking this hire is he has a lot of time with Vic Fangio. And clearly Vic Fangio is going to call the defense, but it's great to know that a person he really, really trusts will be up in the booth No doubt about that, right? He definitely won't be down in the field.
Renault.
What?
Oh, man, Renault. No, go ahead, go ahead. I cannot say that on air. It was just a comment about the game last night with the Golden State Warriors.
What was so funny?
No, it was just funny. I can show you, but you can't repeat it on air. Oh, we have
it doesn't matter. Congratulations. They win. Cecil is at the Shrine game in Tampa. Warriors.
Hey, yeah, I told you can't read it out loud.
Oh, okay. Okay.
My Twitter handle is blowing up, huh?
Is it?
I don't know. What's my Twitter handle?
I don't know.
At Big Al Radio.
Okay, then.
Where would you like to go here, pal?
Go ahead.
Where?
I entertained myself there. Sorry just about kinda, that.
Maybe I'll take a phone call.
I just absolutely entertained myself just now.
Jonathan, you're on the fan. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey, how's it going? I love you guys. Super. You guys are great. Big Sexy, you're awesome. I just had a couple comments.
Go ahead, man.
Wait.
What about the strawberry man?
The strawberry man, I don't think I caught that one.
Okay.
I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, I was just going to say, though, Peyton Manning is way better than Drew Brees, even though I love Drew Brees. You guys forgot about him. And second
That's
off,
a good point.
About the Warriors.
How did we forget Peyton Manning when we were talking about the top quarterbacks of all time? You are correct. He is better than Drew Brees.
And also, I was going to say, bringing up that Nuggets Warriors, I just want to know, Big Al, usually keep it 100, man. Would you ever say that about the Rockies Dodgers?
Yeah, I've said that. I've said the exact same thing about the Dodgers when I'm like, look at the roster. I mean, we're just not there yet.
You're killing me, Big Al. I love you, man, but you're killing me.
Listen, man, it's not, but what I'm trying to do is listen, when I tell you that we're not in the same class as the Kansas City Chiefs, don't think that
we're better than the Chiefs.
We're not better than the Chiefs.
No.
What year?
I'm a Bronco fan. Sorry.
I hear you. So it's hard. Gotcha. See, once again, to you, that is a the family.
And that's why Todd is back.
We love you, Jonathan.
That's a statement that drives a stake in your heart. But as somebody who's being realistic, I'm just telling you where we need to get to. That's what we need to get to. You know, Tom Brady is the model of consistency, and he is a big-time, big-money player. If the game's on the line, I can't think of a guy I would rather have than Tom Brady, and neither can you. As much as you love John Elway, there is not a guy in the world that wouldn't take Tom Brady in the clutch.
We have some breaking news. First reported by Adam Schefter, I'm reading Nikki Javala. The Broncos have hired Rich Scangarello as offensive coordinator. So it has happened. There you go. Just coming out within the past couple of minutes. Scangarello, right? That's how you say it. Right, there's no R, sorry. Scangarello, my apologies. Scangarello has been hired as the offensive coordinator. It is done. It has happened. So, Alfred, we now have our play caller. It is Rich Scangarello. Your reaction?
Great news.
Huh?
I don't know what you want me to say.
I want you to be honest.
Well, he's the guy I thought that they've only interviewed one guy.
Yeah, now it's happened.
And what do you want me to say?
What do you think?
Well, they also interviewed Kubiak as well. Don't forget that.
Right, they did interview Kubiak.
That's right.
Well, that's right.
What I will say about it is that I think that he comes from a different philosophy as far as football goes. When we start to talk about football and the types of plays that are called, this guy is in that class. The new NFL where things look different and plays are called differently for the fact that you can confuse the defense. And I like that. That I do like.
Scangarello comes from the Kyle Shanahan So I would assume the Mike Shanahan coaching tree and philosophy. We know that. What kind of offense does that mean?
That means that you're going to have some principles that are cutting edge. You know, I talked
such
about
as.
This. I talked about this a little bit yesterday. In 2010, Mike Shanahan and his staff brought the RPO game to the NFL because they had RG3. That was the first NFL team to do so. And in that process, you had Mike Shanahan rethinking what offense that he can run and implementing the things that he could with RG3. Now, see, there are a lot of coaches that are going to say, I can do, you know, we're going to try to adjust our playbook to match the skill set of our players that we have on the roster. They're lying. They only call one kind of play because that's the only type of play that they know. Just being honest with you, our coaches around here did not adjust to Paxton Lynch. Mike McCoy, when he was here the first time, certainly adjusted to Tim Tebow. I thought that we were going to get more of that out of Mike McCoy this time. But this time, he did not want that. Given a chance, he didn't want that.
An important piece.
Scangarello. Yeah, Scan.
Skane.
We're just going to call him Skane.
Like Bane,
like
but
Gain.
Skane.
Gain.
Sure.
We're going to call him Skane.
Skane.
Skane has the benefit of working underneath Kyle Shanahan, who was the offensive coordinator that was there in Washington at the same time.
All right. Let's dig deeper into it.
But don't ask me a question like that and then go to commercial.
Here's Mark Schlereth.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
You look at Vic Fangio and what he was able to do, and you look at the several different stops. I mean, where he was great. In San Francisco, he was great. In Chicago last year, he was great. The difference, I think, for Vic and his team is the middle linebacker's position. And I think that's one thing that we're going to see here that's going to be different is who's going to play that middle linebacker position and how much speed does that those guys have? Because when you look back in the day, in San Francisco, they had Patrick Willis, they had Bowman. In Chicago, you know, they had Danny Trevathan, they had Roquan Smith, guys that could flat run, guys that you can match up. And this is one of the things that's interesting to me. In a league where everybody wants to play nickel and dime and take their linebackers out, Chicago still had the size and the depth and just the ability to basically say, hey, you're not going to run it against us because we're keeping our linebackers in, yet they could still cover with those guys, guys that have great speed, great athleticism, but also are big enough to play the linebacker position. And that, I think, is one of the biggest differences in what Vic has done in both places that he's been. He's been all over the place, but those are the two places most recently where he's had a boatload of success. So those are kind of the differences. So that may be the biggest area of change you see is who's going to be playing middle linebacker for us and what kind of speed does that particular individual have. And I think that's, to me, some of the little nuanced differences between what we have been playing and what Vic Fangio brings to the table. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see exactly what he does when he gets his coaching tennies on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.